Luke chapter 9, we're reading verses 1 through 27. These are the words of the living and true God, so let us give our attention to our God. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. Neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not even have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that city. And as for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. Departing, they began going throughout the villages, preaching the gospel and healing out everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening, and he was greatly perplexed, because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the prophets of old had risen again. Herod said, I myself had John beheaded, but who is this man who about whom I hear such things? And he kept trying to see him. When the apostles returned, they gave an account to him of all that they had done, taking with them with him, he withdrew by himself to a city called Bethsaida. But the crowds were aware of this and followed him, and welcoming them, he began speaking to them about the kingdom of God and curing those who had need of healing. Now the day was ending, and the 12 came and said to him, send the crowd away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat, for here we are in a desolate place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. And he said to his disciples, have them sit down to eat in groups of about 50 each. They did so and had them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he looked up to heaven, and he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples to set before the people. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, who do the people say that I am? They answered and said, John the Baptizer, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And that is the word of the Lord. Here you see at the beginning that Christ sends out the apostles to preach and proclaim, verse 2, the kingdom of God. They were to go out preaching the gospel that Christ had come and therefore people should repent and turn to the Lord. They were to remind the people of the prophecies of the coming of the Christ, the coming kingdom of the Christ, of this kingly office and power concerning His church. And you know that our confession says, because sometimes we wonder, what is the kingdom? Our confession says, the visible church consists of all those throughout the world that profess the true religion and of their children and is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, as King, rules all for the sake of the church, to grow her. And so the 12 are sent out. They're given the ability by the Lord through the Spirit to perform miracles. We see in verse 1 something very interesting. You might read it and not think it that interesting. But it says that He gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. But who can give that power and authority over all demons? It must be only God. God, our God and our Lord and our Savior, has power and authority over all demons, which indicates He has power and authority over the devil himself. And of course, our bodies. And what we learn from these miracles, we ask the question, well, what are they for? What do they do? Not just heal people, not just cast out demons. What do they do with this accompanying the preaching, accompanying the proclamation that the kingdom of God has come? It is to show forth that one who performs it is sent from God. And what the 12 would do, being sent by the Lord Jesus, i.e. God, he's showing here, they were to go out preaching, showing the authority from which they came, from God. And therefore people seeing would listen to them. Not to them in their person, but to the words they said. All these then miracles were being performed, and Herod, verse 7, heard about this and thought, well, or other people were saying, well, this is John. He's risen from the dead, because you remember Herod himself put John to death. And another guy, you know, some other people were saying Elijah, and some others, some of the other prophets. And Herod's wondering, who is this guy who's preaching these things? Or being talked about and preached about? And people were puzzled by this, as Herod was. And that is the God, man, Christ, they were perplexed by Him. And they were coming to Him and wanting to hear more about it. More from Him. More from His disciples about Him. And so then we're given the account of the feeding of the 5,000. And we see there that He takes the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, like we've heard many times before, and He blessed it, it says, and He broke it. Which should remind us of what? The Lord's Supper. And even after the resurrection, and disciples see Jesus again. He blessed the food they were eating, the bread, and they broke it, and they knew He was Jesus. They remembered, or they knew that this had to be Jesus, the resurrected, exalted Christ. And so we see that pointed to here as well. And He feeds the 5,000. Now, which is just men, and then you have the women and children with them, so about 20,000 people total. Everyone ate, everyone was satisfied. There's 12 baskets of breadcrumbs left over, which indicates to us that there was more bread left over than when He began handing them out and feeding the people. Because He is the bread of life, He is our provider. And He provides our life even through His sacrifice on the cross, which we celebrate in the Lord's Supper. And in Him alone is the one, is one able to live. Then the question Christ asks in verse 12, or asks the 12 apostles in verse 18, going back to what some were thinking about who this Christ, who Jesus was, in verses 7 and 8, some said John, some said Elijah, some said the prophets. And then we see that Peter, or he asked, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, the Christ of God. You're the Messiah. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you're the Messiah, you're the Son of Man, you're the Son of God. That's talked about so many times in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament. And Jesus told them, in accordance with those prophecies of the Old Testament, then I must suffer. If I'm the Christ, if I'm the Son of Man, the Son of God, then I must suffer at the hands of men in accordance with the prophets and be raised up on the third day after He died. And because of this, then we're just like 1 Peter, we're called to take up our cross and follow after Jesus in His way. And so he says here, he reminds us that He is a King and head of the church. He has a kingdom. And we are part of that kingdom as a visible church on earth. That we must trust the Lord in what He says. We're learning here that we need to feed upon Him and His Word. and remind ourselves often of the gospel, the cross, and his sufferings, and follow after him in his way. Wherever he goes and he leads us, we are to follow, even if it means suffering. So that's God's word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We should never get tired of saying thank you for speaking to us. It is wholly of your grace and mercy. We don't deserve to hear you speak to us. We don't deserve to be revealed the mysteries of old, the gospel and the truth about Christ, and that this Jesus was the Christ, the Lord and Savior, our King, and even our prophet and our priest that we'll hear about in a few moments in the sermon. Father, we're thankful that you are God who shows us again and again that you have power and authority over all, even spiritual beings that we may be scared of and fear sometimes, because like Satan and demons who move us, or tempt us, that is, and we often fall into their trap. But Christ, your Son, he has power and authority over all. And you've given him that power. You've seated him on the throne, the right hand of you, Father, as he ascended into heaven after he died and rose from the dead. We're thankful that you've given him that power, that power that is comforting to us, knowing that Christ is King over all for the sake of your church. And Father, we're asking that you would bless your people. Father, we have our own struggles. We're like the apostles sometimes when they didn't trust you, and when you said that you had to suffer, your Son had to suffer, and Peter responded, no, you can't suffer. And he rebuked Jesus Christ, the Lord and King of all. And that's how we listen to your word sometimes. We don't trust what you say at face value. We try to come up with some other meaning. It has to mean something else. It can't mean this difficult or suffering thing. Father, we ask that you would give us understanding of your word and how you call us to take up the cross, our cross, and follow after your Son, as we've been learning in 1 Peter and many relations and ways in this world. Father, we ask that you would also bless your people in our worship, that you would sanctify our worship and cleanse us of our sin. Even now we know that we've committed many egregious sins, heinous sins in your sight. We've not loved you. We've worshipped idols, even though we might not acknowledge it. And Father, we pray that in these sins that we've committed, you would show us and reveal them to us, that we would turn from them unto you and hate them and love your Son and love your law, your word. Father, we've joked around and not used your name wisely and well. We've made light of you. Even the euphemisms that we use to cover up taking your name in vain, we still used in those euphemisms, taking your name in vain. We've meant the same thing. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us in the words we use, that our words would be, we would think through and speak well, speak honorably, just generally, and then also when we speak of you, that we would speak honorably. Father, we ask that you would bless your people and the words we say, and that you would bring about the fruit, not as we take your name in vain, of course, but that you would move us to speak and exalt your name before all peoples, that the gospel being proclaimed, you would grow your kingdom here on earth. Father, we ask that you would help us with the Sabbath day. We've broken the Sabbath even this morning. And we've thought about other things, worldly things, and our pleasures, and our what we desire to do, and so many thoughts of this world. that we've had. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins and cause us to take delight in you alone. For you are all that we need, and we ought to be satisfied in Christ alone. And so as we've broken your commandments, of course we've broken all, even as we consider the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, forgive us of not doing so. We're thankful that you've given us an advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who cleanses us of our sin as far as the east is from the west. That you assure us of such things. Assure us of your grace. We thank you for your grace in Christ that we have in his life and death, and through his life and death, and by your Spirit. I pray now for our bodies, that you would strengthen our bodies. We are weak. We pray for our souls, that you would help us and strengthen our souls in Christ by your Spirit. And you would cause us to serve well as bearing testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all that we do, in word and deed. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.